Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hey there. Before we jump into this episode, I want to let you know about something that is brand new that you have access to as a Mamahood After Trauma listener. Now, tell me, does this sound like you? You want to give your littles a positive childhood experience. You want the steps to finally heal your childhood trauma. You're tired of the fear holding you back in life, and you enjoy being a mama, and you want to be more present. If you answered yes to any of the above, I would invite you to check out the Mama Untriggered private podcast series. This is a 5-part private podcast series that teaches you how to ditch the emotional roller coaster and bust out of the fear controlling your mamahood. Let's teach you how to calm your nervous system through small, simple steps. I mean, parenting books and workshops are great, but we believe it's better to give you short, actionable audio clips that allow you to take action right away so that they can't escape from your mom brain, right? If this sounds at all interesting to you, I would invite you to head over to subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. That's subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. Now, let's go into this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am so excited that you have taken some time out of your day to tune in and listen to this conversation. Today, we have the pleasure of being joined by Elena. Welcome.
Hi, Emily. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining me. I am very excited for our conversation. So let's dive right in and have you introduce yourself to our listeners and share a little bit about how you came to be working in the trauma recovery space.
Absolutely. So, Elena Turley, I'm coming at you from Sydney in Australia. I think the first thing I always like to say is that I'm a mother of three, and I guess the main thing is just that I thrive on connecting with women all over the world and learning the stories of women like you who have recovered from trauma, who have found ways to be all of who they are. And for me, that's been a real ongoing thing. You know, it's a constant, I guess, compassionate, curious, and really unpredictable experience being a person in this world who's experienced difference or experienced anything that has changed you. I've become a bit of an observer of the human condition, and I've learned some tools along the way. I kind of sometimes call it an emotional well-being toolkit, because I feel like sometimes emotional well-being is probably the most challenging thing when you experience different things in your life to then just operate in the world, you know. And so a lot of the work that I do now in various different ways is is just really focused on that. How can we be all of who we are in this world that kind of asks us to split into pieces in some ways, you know, to be one person here and one person there, you know, the person we are at work, the person we are at home, the person we are with our friends. And I think the thing that really fascinates me is how can we bring all of those together and just be one whole person?
Yeah, I love that. Living as a single individual, completely in alignment, no matter where you are. So, I was doing some research a couple of months back into different types of wardrobes, like you know how some people have their work clothes. I did when I was working a traditional 9 to 5.
Same.
I had my teacher clothes, and then I had my weekend clothes or my after school clothes. And then I left the classroom full time, and it all just kind of the teacher clothes hung in my closet collecting
You
dust.
stopped wearing them.
I stopped wearing them unless I needed to go somewhere fancy. And yoga pants or leggings and t-shirts became my everyday. And it's very similar to parts of our personality, parts of who we are as individuals. So I would love for you to talk into that a little bit more. Like, what is your process into helping women live more in alignment?
Well, look at, I mean, if I want to be sort of technical, I do have a process that I take women through, and it's a 5-step process, and it's really effective, and I can outline that for you. But first, I'm going to tell you a quick story because what you said is so resonant. And I also do some teaching, and I've recently started wearing my normal clothes to my teaching jobs, and that's a really interesting thing to do as well. But the other day, I had a speaking engagement. And it was a really exciting speaking engagement for me where I got to promote a crowdfund for a women's shelter in a really remote part of Australia. It was really cool. And when I was getting ready, I was representing a particular organization that I work for, which is it's a not-for-profit, and it teaches women and girls self-defense because I'm a martial artist as well. And so I do work with them, taking self-defense to girls and women in remote communities and in schools. And anyway, so I was representing them. And because I was representing them when I did this facilitator, this talking at this event, I actually felt like I needed to dress in a certain way that kind of mirrored my friend who runs the organization, who's a really glamorous, like ex-model, blonde, beautiful media personality, right? So I felt like I needed to get dressed up pretty fancy, and it was really interesting. I went along, and as soon as I got there, I realized I felt a bit out of place, and I couldn't quite work out why, because they were my people. I loved the people there, and I had great conversations. And then I got the photos back from the event, and I realized that I had kind of dressed up as someone else. I had kind of felt like I had to be the glamorous model, you know, that which of course I'm not and will never be, right? And so it was a really funny moment where I'm looking at these photos, I'm like, it just doesn't really look like me. And I realized it was because I'd kind of tried on this costume of somebody else. And they were nice clothes and they were still, you know, my style in a way, but it wasn't me. It wasn't really me. And I think we know that, you know, authenticity and being who we are 100% is a human right. It's a right of all humans to be self-determined, to be able to be who they are. And if you ask anybody, for example, who's struggled with, you know, queer sexuality or had any kind of like alternative, and that's not me, but I know from talking to people that if you can't be who you are growing up, and Gabor Maté talks about this, one of the world's leading trauma experts. If you can't be who you are growing up, it's traumatic. It becomes really,
Incredibly so.
really, Yeah, deeply traumatic and sometimes life-threateningly traumatic, right? And it is something that we often, I think, overlook, that we really are here to bring our special magic to the world. That's what we're here for. That's what we're driven to do. That's why not being able to be ourselves is so painful, because we have this thing to give, and that giving of ourselves is ultimately, I believe, one of the biggest kind of joys and most deepest fulfillments we can have in life. So if we don't know what that is, or we live in a culture that doesn't allow us to express that deep purpose, that deep reason that we feel we are here, or our deep personal expression, it's painful, you know, it's excruciating. And not only that, the world suffers if we don't. You know, the world needs us to be who we are, because there's only one of each of us. And I think it's a really special thing. So it's a part of the process that I go through with women. I work mainly with women, is first of all to become very aware of what is that thing, and who is it that we really truly desire. And it's usually in our thoughts and in our dreams and our visions. And then we step into making conscious choices around that. And that often involves making conscious choices around how we live and regenerate naturally and environmentally as well, because I believe we are also driven to be custodians of the natural world. And then we bring more of that into our homes and into our choices day to day. And then I go through additional processes of relating to people from that place, and you know, consciously connecting with people who encourage us to be all of who we are. And that means, you know, better relationships with children and partners and communities and friends. And then we move into how do we actually make that happen productively, practically, and then how do we stay aligned and stay on our purpose? And yeah, so that's the five stages.
Yeah, because in the process of working through all of that, you are pretty much guaranteed to come up against some headbutting, some
Yeah.
people who aren't supportive, who don't
Yeah.
understand, who want you to just stay the same because for them,
Yeah.
it's uncomfortable for you to change, for you to step into who you were created to be versus who the world has told you to be.
Oh, that's so true. It's so true. And I literally just this week put a huge quote about that on my Instagram, which I'll read to you in a sec. But the other thing I was just thinking about is I had read something recently, I can't remember where. It's windiest at the top of the mountain. You know, the wind is strongest at the top of the mountain. And that's such a beautiful, if you're ready to step into your role, whatever that role is, as a leader, as a person that, okay, I've got this special thing, I'm going to show how to live it. You're going to cop some weather, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
Yeah.
the quote that I did this week, do you mind if I read the quote? It's so
Oh, go
personal to
ahead. Go ahead.
what I said. It's actually a quote that's often attributed to Nelson Mandela, but the reason that it's attributed to Nelson Mandela is that he read it out in his presidential acceptance speech. But it was actually Marianne Williamson, who's a beautiful American thinker and spiritualist and also leader in her own way. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. But what's interesting is what she goes on to say. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. So I don't use the word God there often. I put my own word in. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Oh my goodness, that resonates so much. So much. Yes. And you said that was Marianne Williamson?
Williamson. Yeah, she's a
Yeah.
really remarkable author and
Wow.
speaker, and yeah.
Need to write that down.
Yeah, she did this thing called a course. Well, I think she sort of rewrote a book, or went through something. I think it's called A Course in Miracles, which is this incredible program. It was kind of too deep for me, actually, but what comes out of it essentially is that we must always turn away from fear and towards love. That's basically the gist of it, right? In a nutshell.
In
And
a nutshell.
what that does, setting that intention in your life, it doesn't mean the fear is not there. Of course it is. It just means it's not your focus. It just means you don't get
Yeah.
stuck there, and you kind of make friends with it, and you almost make it your compass. It's like, well, if I'm facing fear, then I need to shift course. I need to change direction, you know.
Yeah. When I'm working with my clients, I tell them that the goal is to not feel the lower, less pleasant emotions.
Right.
The goal is to allow yourself to feel them, but don't sit down and have a cup of coffee with them and become besties.
Yeah.
You choose what you focus on, but you still have to work through the crap to get to the other side.
Yeah, it's so true. When I was getting my black belt last year, I got my black belt, and one of the really interesting things about that is that I think when you become a martial artist at white belt, you think, oh wow, those black belts, they don't have any fear. They don't, you know, by the time I'm a black belt, I won't be scared of XYZ. That wasn't my experience at all. What happened was I kind of made friends with the fear in a way, but took it with me. Said, here, take my hand, we're going this way, you know. And yes, it's there, and yes, it's helpful. We're made that way. We're supposed to have fears. They're there to protect us, they're there to help us remember our instincts. Fear has a really important place, you know, for us. And I honor that. But it doesn't lead me. I lead it. I choose how much of it, you know, I take on, and how much of it I say, well, thanks for pointing that out, but it's okay. You know, it's kind of like that. So I think for me, fear is my ally,
Yeah.
but I'm the dominant partner, you know.
Well, yeah, because all of the human emotions, all of them serve a
Yes,
purpose. They all
absolutely.
serve a purpose. Your anger serves a purpose. Your jealousy serves a purpose. Your happiness, your sadness, all of it serves a purpose. N nothing is without purpose. You were created to have all of the emotions.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. So I've got another, I feel like I'm boasting, I don't mean to, but I've got a history degree. And one of the fantastic things that I remember from studying many, many years ago is the genealogy of ideas. And I talk about this quite a lot. So where we get our ideas from, and I think, you know, social researchers are really good at knowing this stuff as well, about where ideas come from. And I think sometimes when we know the history of an idea, we don't have to feel so beholden to it in a way, and it's more of a choice, you know. Okay, well, I'm going to use that idea, or I'm going to use that idea, rather than this is just the way things are. And one of the things about Western society is that we come from a rational place, you know. What a lot of Western culture and you know, modern Western culture comes from a time called the Enlightenment, when everybody just decided to be led by the brain. You know, and we decided that thinking is not even really the brain, but the idea of the brain, and the idea of our minds, and the idea of rationality being the king of everything, you know. And it is kind of a masculine
It's
idea.
very
And
masculine.
yeah, so what's cool is that as women step into greater visibility and greater leadership in the world, which is happening everywhere, then we bring in other ways of being, and the emotions and the spirit, I believe, in a way, are more aligned with the feminine experience. So when we are able to bring in more value to our emotions, like you say, feel the feelings, and not just like I have to have them, they're important, but I celebrate them, because they're a key part of who I am, rather than suppress them so we can think rationally, which we often do, you know, without even realizing we're doing it because it's so deeply conditioned. But when we can bring back our intuition and bring back our innate wisdom, which is, you know, beyond thinking, then we have this rich experience. We have this ability to contact, such a rich experience.
Yeah. So what are some tips that you could give a listener who is maybe just embarking on a journey of living in more alignment than they have? They're at that point in their healing journey where they're ready to put aside who the world has told them to be and step into who they were created to be.
Well, first of all, how amazing to be in that moment. If anyone is listening and is in that moment, you have an incredible experience ahead of you. And part of the reason for that is that you get to look at alignment with what, you know, what do I want to be aligned with? Who do I feel called to be? And my advice would be to have a really deep look at that. And the process I often use for that is, apart from all the obvious things like journaling and breath work and getting into the body and doing whatever it is that draws you into reconnecting with your body and your own innate wisdom, is to look at something called the Golden Circle, which is a lovely man called Simon Sinek, who is a leadership guy, leadership author and facilitator in America as well. He talks about the Golden Circle process, and you can find it freely available on his website. I actually go through it. I brought his resources and I go through it with the people in my program because I think it's such a great process. And it's very simple. And it's just about asking certain questions and creating a kind of a map of your own, what really drives you?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do this? And what do you want to align with? And what are your values, you know? So that kind of process is definitely the first step, so that you can be really intentional and you can have a little bit less of that sort of just, I guess, lily pad hopping from one idea to another or one modality to another. Like, use your own self, use your own inner compass as your guide.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read Simon's book, Start With Why, and he is a genius in explaining that whole process.
Yeah. And compassion led, which I just think is so great, because so much of the stuff in the world at the moment, and not all, but a lot, is not compassion led. It's kind of aggressive. You know, it's like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And my feeling is that that's ultimately not conducive to you trusting yourself.
No.
And really trusting yourself is the key, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's
that's
massive.
My experience. It might not be yours, right? But that's what I feel.
It totally
I
is.
I reckon it's pretty human to kind of go, okay, well, we need to sometimes relearn or re-empower ourselves to trust within instead of looking outside for all the answers, you know.
Yeah, especially if you've grown up in a situation where you've been taught that you're untrustworthy.
Yeah, or your self-worth. For me, it was self-worth. Yeah. And I was in a loving family, but I missed the memo that I was worthy. You know what I mean? And so a lot of things then kind of snowballed and sort of just cascaded following that in my life to kind of reinforce it. And I think whatever we believe about ourselves, we then seek to make right. We seek to make true. And so where the brain works is, if we believe that we are not worthy, or we believe that whatever we believe about ourselves, we will then seek evidence to make ourselves right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So where can our listeners connect with you further if they would like to do so?
Sure. I hang out quite a bit on Instagram, and I also have a website. My website's my name, alenaturley.com, Alenaturley. So that's usually the easiest place to find me. But yeah, on socials, just under my name. And come and say hi. If you've heard this and something has resonated, I really would love to hear from you. I love to have chats with people all over the world. I've actually just recently shut down a blog I've been running since 2009 and now focusing more on podcasting. I have a podcast as well. So, yeah, lots of good ways to connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today, Elena. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And until next time, friends.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep